Now,
absolutely.
Are you back in Canada? Because you had relocated, haven't you?
I'm up here in Canada. The weather is terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what, if this, I mean, what we're like, end of August, and it's pissing with rain, it's cold out. I'm up in BC.
Oh, boy, yeah, you're up there.
I'm a 40-minute ferry ride northwest of Vancouver.
So. Wow, yeah, so you're up there.
I'm kind of out in the sticks, I got, you know.
You're out in the backwoods, you're going to be an ice road trucker.
Yeah, but I'm going to be spending a lot of the next year down the States. I'm working on a deal with a New York-based label.
Hey, great, man.
And, in fact, in about 6 days, I'm going down to Vegas. I've been working with Kevin Cherko.
Okay.
And he just finished Ozzy Osbourne's new album.
Right.
Used to work with Mutt Lang, and you know, he's got quite a history. He's actually in Vancouver. Well, he's originally from Medicine Hat, but
yeah,
Vancouver for a long time. And so I'm working with him on my third album.
Right.
Which is sounding fantastic. And it's basically the sessions that, you know, the trial sessions that me and him did in, I guess it was May, earlier this year, that got the label interest. And, you know, now in the middle of working that deal out, and by September, which isn't too far away, we'll be finishing the record, or at least continuing on the production, and going on tour, probably release it early 08. And I'm hoping to be on tour for a year, you know, as long as it takes. You know, we're going to do the States, obviously, that's where we're going to start, and
right.
Which is great for me, because you know, I have two albums out. The first one I was signed with Warner Germany, and, you know, we did release it in over 30 countries worldwide, but, you know, the majority of the promotion and energy and attention went towards the Germany, Austria, Switzerland territories, and we had some success there. I mean, it was,
yeah.
You know, it was a hit on the radio, and sold a lot of records, and that was fantastic. It's an album I released on my own label
mm-hmm.
when I moved back to Canada through Universal in Canada. So we only hit Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've yet to release a record in the States.
Well, it's time, Simon.
Yeah.
Thank God, man. And you know,
thank God. Yeah.
And, you know, and another thing, too, is, you know, I'd like to see a tour. I'd like to see you come to Philadelphia.
Oh, big time.
There's you know, I mean, because...
Come to Philadelphia.
And, you know, a lot of bands broke out in Philly, and, you know, we'd like to see you come out and, you know, hey, maybe even come down to the studio.
I was there on the, I guess it was the Butt Seriously tour,
uh-huh.
And it's kind of a bittersweet situation there. I remember I had, in fact, in Montreal, because I was on the whole eastern block of the tour, eastern leg of the tour, and I'd gone swimming in Montreal and got, like, water trapped behind my ears.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day we flew to Detroit, and the pressure pushed the water further back.
Oh, no, I had
By
that,
the time
too.
We got to Cleveland, I was deaf. I mean, I'm completely deaf. But I was, you know, to the point where I'm on, the seventh floor of the hotel. I'm watching the TV, and there's no way of, you know, usually they have those little bars and meters to tell you, you know, how loud it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from the front desk saying, you know, from the front lobby, like, kid, you're deaf. I mean, we can hear you in the lobby. I mean, go get some help.
Right.
Because it's so gradual. So anyway, so we couldn't do anything until we got to Philadelphia. So it was in Philadelphia that I actually went to go see his ear specialist, and they had to puncture my eardrums. It was painful. But that night, I was scheduled to play drums on stage.
Wow.
And it's only painful for the first, you know, when they actually puncture your eardrum, and then it's, after that, you can hear everything, and that's kind of cool. But
mm-hmm.
I actually forgot to put earplugs in when I went up on stage. And
damaged.
And just distortion. So I just had to keep looking behind me and looking at Chester to keep in time. And,
wow.
But that was, anyway, nonetheless, it was great. It was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Philly audiences are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They're
one of
insane.
The best in on the continent.
Yeah, we're definitely an insane bunch. But,
yeah.
You know, you've like you said, you had the two albums. How would you compare and contrast, say, this new one that you're working on with the last one that was, you know, independently released?
Well, I think the last one was, first of all, the songwriting was a little bit more experimental and unorthodox, and the arrangements, which, you know, I want to try and keep that feel as well on this new record, but I think this new record has got a little bit more meat on the bone.
Okay.
It's a little darker and edgier. Like I'm fusing more of my Nine Inch Nails influences on this one.
Right.
And I mean, I think probably the strongest point I can bring up is my voice.
Right.
You know, what it is, but between, you know, I mean, it was actually been a long time. I once, just as a side note, once got compared to Peter Gabriel in one of my album reviews for the second album, Time for Truth.
Wow.
And it was a 5-star review. I mean, they loved it.
Yeah.
And they said, this guy probably comes from the same place as Peter Gabriel. And I, you know, I can't remember the entire quote. But basically, I mean, I was, they're obviously saying, you know, lyrically, because I come from a very spiritual place,
mm-hmm.
Content-wise. Sonically, I guess, I use a lot of pads and guitar pads and drones. But probably they're also referencing the fact of how long it takes me to come out with albums.
Mm-hmm.
Because
10 years in between each, or
yeah. It was like 5 years.
Oh, that kills me. I want to beat guys up to do that.
And then, you know, the full horrific story I can't obviously tell because it'll take up our entire time.
Right.
You know, there's a reason for it, but let us just say it wasn't. That's obviously not how I planned it to be.
Right. Exactly.
But anyway. There's been a long period of time between the recording of the last record and now, and yeah, I started working on it in 01, 02. So, you know, my voice has matured a great deal. There's a lot of confidence in there. I've found my voice, and that makes all the difference. And now there's just a lot more conviction and a lot more power in the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrically, you know. You know, I've obviously been through a lot of my own, wrestled with some of my own demons through the last years.
Right.
And
we all have.
I think it's gonna be a more personal record.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing it, man.
Yeah, and that's gonna be great. And you know, having Chirko on board, I mean, he's great to work with, and we are co-writing on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, but there's also some darker kind of. I've got a track which is already recorded, which I'll be finishing in the next couple weeks, which is featuring Steve Hackett.
Awesome.
It's going to be probably the album closer. It's like an 8-minute epic track. And I originally was working on this one hook idea, and it was very dark and ethereal, and it, you know, content-wise, lyrically, it certainly wasn't dumbed down. I'm talking about the concept of a multiverse and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, Hackett popped into my mind because we met, I guess it would have been in 02,
mm-hmm.
in Germany when he played Braunschweig. I was, at the time, staying with a friend of mine in Braunschweig in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
As a surprise, he got me some tickets. So we went to go see the band. And so we met backstage, and he didn't recognize me at first, in fact, which is really funny. His drummer said, "You don't recognize him?" I said, "Well, should I?" You know. It's so sad. He's like, "Oh my God," you know, because the last time he saw me, he was a fetus. You know?
Right, you were a baby, right?
I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes just lit up, and it was just, you know, it was fantastic. And we spent all night having a chin wag. And so we promised to keep in touch,
yeah,
and do something together. And I just, you know, years later, I was like, this is the track. This is the track. I sent it to him, and he immediately jumped all over. He loved it.
And he's a great guy that way. He's worked with some of the younger prog rockers that are coming out with, you know, really innovative stuff. He's helped out, and, you know, very easy to work with too.
Oh, absolutely. And we, you know, unfortunately, you know, we I mean, the beauty of the internet, we got it done in like 2 or 3 days, and because he was in the UK at the time.
Yeah.
So he just basically sent me a WAV file.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I mean, obviously, I, you know, the liberty of chopping it up, which I did.
Mm-hmm, right.
But kept, you know, I mean, obviously kept the main bulk of the solo. Just, he delivered a really emotional piece, man.
And he's very good at that, yeah.
And delivered like this atmosphere of kind of infinite reach, depth of infinite reach. And it is classic Hackett. I was just blown away. It was really
a
great collaboration. So that's going to be on the record. And, you know, I'm planning on doing something with my dad for the record, which we've never done. We kind of did. He did backing vocals on one of my first single, Pride. My dad and I have actually collaborated. He did backing vocals on my first single. Well, we didn't know it was going to be a single at the time, but he came in, and it wasn't even, hey, Dad, I want you to do backing this on my track. It was more like, hey, son, let me show you how it's sung, you know, mm-hmm. kind of moment, and hopefully I'm going to go back in there and redo them, and, you know, we had a little bit of competition going on in the studio, you know. It was a healthy competition. but we just loved it so much, how our voices melded together, like, wow. You know, come on, let's leave it. It sounds so good.
Well, you know, you kind of sound like your dad, but not really. I mean, you can hear it.
Strange. I mean, well, wait till you hear the new stuff.
Yeah.
I was talking earlier about how I found my voice. Well, damn, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it scares me. I'm like, wow, I feel like that's my dad coming out of the speakers. This is serious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice, but it's also strange at the same time.
I can imagine.
But anyway, so we've got plans. I contacted him a couple months ago and said, "Listen, I really would like to do it for real this time. Let's write a song together, man. And you know, you do backing vocals, or whatever. But let's do it like a drum duet.
That would be hot.
Totally.
That would be hot.
So I think that's the idea. So I wrote, you know, I got it started because he was busy on tour. So I got the ball rolling and put together some ideas." And, you know, did like a rough kind of percussive arrangement, which I'm sure he would identify. And so far, he's liking what he's hearing. So
yeah.
The idea is for us to do something more like that, you know, for him to get back to his roots, I think, would be way cooler than, you know, us doing a duet, which has been suggested by every label I've ever worked with. It's just, you know, I think that'd just be corny as hell, but... anyway, so there's some cool featurings on the new album. Mm-hmm. So the Hackett feature and you know, working with my dad's gonna be fantastic. But apart from that, I mean, it's gonna be pretty straightforward, kind of progressive. I wouldn't say progressive rock.
Mm-hmm. No, but a lot.
It's certainly elements of progressiveness in it.
Right, flavors.
I was,
right.
I was working on a new song yesterday. I can't. Tell the title because it rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also working on some soundscapes and stuff. Like I, you know, the man who's signing me right now to this label in New York, R&T Razor and Tie.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge progressive music fan.
Wow.
And, so it's actually I'm very lucky because you know I have the opportunity now to make a great. Rock pop record, but also include a lot of elements of my progressive influences into that, you know, and then that's probably why the 8-minute Hackett feature will make it on the record, you know, if
right.
It's a different label, that might not happen.
It might not happen, exactly.
They're like, well, can we cut that into 4 minutes? It's like, no, you don't get it.
Right.
The whole point is it's a progressive arrangement with Hackett.
It's like prog rock's a dirty word.
Oh, I know, it's yeah.
That is the title cut, Time for Truth, from the 2005 release from the Light Years Music label. Check it out at lightyearsmusic.net. Simon Collins. And great stuff, Simon.